This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it is Brandon Scott and Pendergast today. Brandon in for Seth. D'Amico Ryans met with the media at the league meetings in West Palm Beach yesterday. It's always fun. Coach sitting down at breakfast, just wants to have his omelet and his coffee, and he's got 12 media members gathered around him with microphones right up in his face.
Like, just trying to enjoy the scenes of the beach, the sand, the water.
Yeah.
Not some crinkly old reporter with his phone coming up to
him. Bagel sandwich and some orange juice.
Yeah, man. Vibes.
Sea breeze and the vibes with a Z on it. And
how much is a media scrum a vibe killer at a scene like that?
Oh, it's the ultimate, I would say.
Come on,
right?
Man. We're not at the gym or at the facility. I'm on the beach, and here you come.
And I want to talk about toxicity in the O-line room, D'Amico. Let's hear about it. So here's D'Amico Ryans. That was the big report after the Laremy Tunsil trade. Albert Breer saying there was toxicity in the offensive line room. What does D'Amico Ryans have to say about that?
I think our guys in that room, they competed. They battled. It didn't always go how we wanted it to go, but there was nothing toxic in the room. Those guys showed up to work every day. Those guys were a tight group. They went out to dinners throughout the week. So those, I don't know where their report came from, but it's very incorrect. That's just not, there's nothing in our building. That's nothing I stand for. You know, as the head coach of the team, we bring in the right people. We bring in good guys, and they're, all those guys are great guys.
Okay, so a little tough to hear just because it's a media scrum, but
I think wind was clearly blowing out there.
Wind was blowing. This is one of those things, Brandon, that to me, oftentimes with stuff like this, it comes down to how you define the word that is the center of
yes. The
discussion. And it comes down to, in this case, it's toxicity. How do you define toxicity? And many people define toxicity as some element that includes animosity, anger, frustration, all of those things. I don't know that it was that. Like, Laremy Tunsil seems to be at the center of this because he's the one that was shipped out. And he's you ship out your best guy in a position group when his skill set is one that protects the biggest asset in the organization, C.J. Stroud, and it does look strange. And we'll hear from D'Amico on the Tunsil trade in just a second. This could be one of those things where the game of telephone that gets played, whatever was going on in that room turns into toxicity, when in fact it wasn't exactly what D'Amico Ryans wanted.
Yeah, I thought from the very beginning, and this is not a shot at Albert Breer, but I thought phrasing was key all along with this whole toxicity thing. Like, when I first saw Albert Breer report the toxic phrase that there was a toxic offensive line room, but if you go and read that report, everything he says around that word toxic falls short of toxicity. Like, hey, although he was liked, or although he was well respected, he being Laremy Tunsil, that room became toxic. which was, to me, and again, Albert Breer is a well-respected and well-accomplished reporter, but to me, it did make me think of, okay, did Albert Breer or his editor just not word check this properly and say, hey, is this the phrasing that we want to use given everything else that we're saying around this? Is all we're really saying is that the Texans' offensive line just was bad, not good enough, substandard, didn't live up or meet the standard that they had set for themselves or for the amount of money that they were paying for said offensive line, as opposed to calling it toxic? Because that's a very that feels like a very specific kind of critique, and it feels like it also missed the mark.
Feels like someone used that word along the way and they just used it wrong.
Yeah.
And then Albert Breer ran with it. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and a lot of us, let's just be honest, there are a lot of people, I think a lot of us here at the station included, who did not necessarily appreciate Laremy Tunsil's leadership style,
right,
his demeanor, his presentation. And I think maybe some of that in some ways was probably communicated to Albert Breer, and they took some liberties in calling it toxic when that necessarily wasn't the way that the other players in that room felt about him as much as maybe others outside felt about him watching him and that unit not succeed.
Yeah, it matters less now that they've dismantled that room and started to build it back up again.
Yeah.
It would make a much bigger difference if all the guys that were part of that room were still Houston Texans.
Yeah.
You know, if you're throwing toxicity, then they're getting asked about it now, that kind of thing.
And it's also, to that point, it's also an easy word to use when you get rid of not just one, but three of the starters on the offensive line, including the best one in Laremy Tunsil.
Yep. Here's D'Amico Ryan, speaking of Tunsil. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about trading Laremy Tunsil. Said it was tough. It was not easy.
Trading Laremy is really tough. There's nothing easy about that because Laremy is such a great player. You know, he put the tape on Sunday. He's arguably one of the best one-on-one pass protectors in the NFL. So it's hard to lose a player of his caliber. But also at the same time, it was a trade we felt was, it was beneficial to both parties. Well, we were able to get quality draft picks out of the trade, sent Laremy to a really good team as well. So I think we both benefited from the trade, but it's going to be hard to replace them as well. So in free agency, you see we've added a couple few offensive linemen, Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, Ed Ingram, Lakin Tomlinson. The idea behind adding those guys is just going to add some veteran guys who played for a while. They've done it the right way. Guys play hard, and really wanted to enhance just competition in the room.
All right, there's a ton of breadcrumbs there from D'Amico Ryans. One, put on the tape on Sunday on Laremy Tunsil. I'm going to do that thing that radio hosts do, where I'm like, well, what about the other 6 days?
Yep. You can definitely reverse engineer that.
Yes.
Go the other way around.
Yes.
What about Wednesday?
Yeah. I checked that injury report.
Yeah.
The word rest is on there a lot on Wednesdays. Yeah,
what about Wednesday?
That was one. And number two, where D'Amico said it's going to be really hard to replace Laremy Tunsil, and in a vacuum, he's right. I mean, there's only a handful of guys that are better at left tackle than Laremy Tunsil. But, and D'Amico knows what I'm about to say, obviously, this is not about replacing Laremy Tunsil. This is about a complete overhaul of that room, which Laremy Tunsil is a fraction of the replacement. You know, you're physically replacing a few guys there for sure. I think it's an attitude and a coaching style that you're replacing as much as it is the actual human beings in the room.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's an attitude, it's a coaching style, and then on top of that, like, it's just the reality that having the one elite pass protector along the offensive line was not good enough to save you. It's not an individual type of position where, like, individual excellence means excellence for the whole group. Mm-hmm. Like, a wide receiver, for example. One wide receiver, great. And the whole wide receiver room can look good because you got that one great wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Like one wide receiver can make it up. But the offensive line is obviously playing in concert, playing together. And so the one being elite does not necessarily translate to the rest of them being elite or even being passable, which we've now seen basically 2 years in a row with Laremy Tunsil. So, like, I do wonder, it's water under the bridge now, but I do wonder, like, this thought exercise of, is this the move that the Texans make even if, say, they beat Kansas City in that divisional round?
Mm.
And everything is still true in terms of the business implications, the financial implications of keeping or getting rid of Laramie Tunsil, and also all of the other stuff, the ancillary stuff that we're talking about within the locker room, or the attitude or the approach, or how that affects the rest of the room. All of those things would have still been reality, even if they had won that game. So, like, even if they get a step closer to their goal or have a, you know, empirically better season than they did the year before, is that still the tough business move that they make? I think that the answer is yes, but it's easy to look back and reflect on the year. They didn't necessarily take a step up, and the offensive line takes a step back. So we can call it toxic, and we get rid of everybody, and everybody's kind of just trying to do their own autopsy of the
thing. It's an interesting hypothetical that you pose there, Brandon.
I think the answer is yes, but it is interesting.
I undoubtedly think it's yes, because the fact of the matter is, it would have meant in that Kansas City game, you made a couple more plays that you didn't make in reality. Does that change the body of work throughout the course of the season and the entire postseason? It doesn't. Other than a couple, not materially. It changes the outcome of a game, but it doesn't change play to play how that line played. Also, that would have meant you're going on to play another game in, it would have been Buffalo, right? You would have gone up to Buffalo and played an AFC title game where, let's face it, some bad things could have happened there that would have had you with the same thought. The only thing that probably changes the calculus on is to maybe get to or win a Super Bowl. That's probably about it.
Yeah, if you get there and lose to Philly the way Kansas City did, then we're obviously looking at the season a lot differently.
But all
of those things would have still been true. Like, they, let's say they win the Super Bowl, right? Or let's just go Kansas City. They get to the Super Bowl, lose to the Eagles. Laramie Tunsil is still expensive, and they still have just drafted Blake Fisher, and they have another expensive tackle on the team.
Absolutely.
And all of these things are still true, but do we talk about them the same way? We probably do not, but a lot of these things are still true about the offensive line.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. The O-line teardown gets an A+, but the rebuild, as of right now, on paper, gets a D. And I think, here's the thing. We're not going to know what the grade should be for the rebuild until A, the draft, because that's going to be a big component of it. And B, and I understand that the sentiment of the texter, which is, I am underwhelmed by the guys they've brought in so far.
Yeah, I've said something similar. I feel like that.
Yeah, and so I get that. It all depends on how easy or tough a grader you are.
Yeah.
And number two, until we see what it looks like with Nick Haley and Cole Popovich getting their hands into the clay, so to speak. You know, what does it look like with a different coaching staff compared to what it looked like with Bobby Slowick and Chris Strouser last year?
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of three offensive linemen, including their best one, who's far and away better than anybody that they already had and anybody that they've brought in. So, like, when you look at it just from a net positive or negative, they got rid of their best guy, didn't bring anybody in that we think is anywhere nearly as good as that. Nor did they, by the way, as of yet, at least, adequately or impressively address the holes. Like, nobody thought they had a hole at left tackle. As frustrated as you might be with Laramie Tunsil and his false starts and maybe his attitude or whatever you don't like about Laramie Tunsil, you probably didn't think, hey, the Texans don't have a left tackle. You did think they don't have a left guard. They don't have a right guard. We don't know what's going on with center because they drafted one and then benched him and got him playing guard. So, like, there are three interior positions we got serious questions about. I don't feel like we've got better answers or satisfactory answers to those. So I'm with the texter in spirit, but also, like, to be fair, it's probably an incomplete. That's not like the texter. I'll give him credit for having the hotter radio take of, hey, it's a D, and me on the radio saying it's actually probably an I, because no one wants to give an incomplete. But if we're being fair about it, we still have to see what they're going to do and, like you said, what it's going to look like with the new coaching.
One more from D'Amico Ryans, as long as we're talking about the offense. He was asked about the acquisition of wide receiver Christian Kirk.
I love Christian's, just his speed. That's the one thing that jumps out about him. Is with David Trayton, he's a fast player, right? He's made a lot of nice plays in the slot, running the deep routes in the slot, or it's the option routes of winning on third down. So I'm excited to see what he brings on third down. I think he can really, you know, open up a lot of options for us on third down, whether that's especially from the inside position. I think he'll be a friendly target for CJ.
Yeah. If they hadn't made the Christian Kirk trade, we would be talking, I think, more about wide receiver than the offensive line room right now.
Yeah.
And I still think a wide receiver opposite Nico, you know, Kirk's going to play the slot. I still think getting a guy on the outside, I think you can make an argument that that individually is a bigger need than anything they've got going on the offensive line right now.
I think it's pretty big, but honestly, man, like, I've got more confidence. Like, I, for whatever, and call me crazy, audience, if you want, but I got more confidence right now in Xavier Hutchinson than I do say Ed Ingram.
Oh, like or Laken Tomlinson.
Or Laken Tomlinson. And maybe Laken Tomlinson I'm not as down on as I am Ed Ingram, because he actually has been good before.
Man.
Well, he's been good before. You know,
yeah,
and I'm not saying he's going to be good now necessarily, but there's I've at least seen it before. Ingram, not as much. He's just played a lot over his, you know, 3 years in the league
played
so far,
a lot,
but not necessarily well at any point. Laken Tomlinson has played well at some point in life.
Yeah.
So there's something to find there.
But between
the two of them, though, I would say if you package those two, the guard position, and give me that versus what's your confidence in them versus Xavier Hutchinson, I think I'm more confident in Hutch.
You're more confident in Laken Tomlinson and Ed Ingram than you are Hutchinson and Mechie right now.
I think I'm more confident.
Are you? Man, I just like I.
That's not saying a lot, Sean.
I like him. You're right.
This is not a fun race to run.
We are debating three plates below the surface of the earth right now.
Yes.
But yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know. I just wish I'd seen Hutchinson and Mechie get open more, you know?
And also, to the Christian Kirk point, at least they also have Christian Kirk to kind of help offset some things.
Like
you do have now two, and I mentioned the difference between wide receiver and offensive line. Like, they're kind of doing their own individual thing. You do at least have two really good ones. One that's probably great, I would say, in Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Kirk, we might not even talk enough about because he's actually really, really good. I don't know if you have – who's your really, really good offensive lineman? Who is
it? Who's your best one right now? It's probably Cam Robinson's probably your best offensive lineman right
now. It's not a fun question to ask or answer.
That kind of hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. Headlines coming up next. The Astros, how concerned are we about the offense? We'll hear from Astros manager Joe Espada as the Astros lose 7-2 last night to the San Francisco Giants. Rockets lose to the Lakers. NFL league meetings today. Big things going on in West Palm Beach today. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.